Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas. And it's that time of the year, late April, early May, when we get a lot of rain, and this rain threatening right here. I don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but we're grateful for the water, but not necessarily for the extreme storming that we get sometimes. Anyway, the garden's looking beautiful as I do this show, and we're grateful for the beauty of nature, God's provision. Today I am here by myself to discuss the theme of ask, seek, and knock, keys to manifestation. And if you're interested in that subject and would like to discuss it with me or have comments or questions, you can easily call in to 816-251-3555 and leave your message or wait to be patched into the discussion. So happy to discuss anything along those lines. Ask, seek, and knock. We look at the teachings of Jesus, Buddha, and other traditions to see how we can bring ideas from the potential to the actuality, how we claim our good, and then live it in an enriching and practical way. And of course, this is how Unity was founded, as practical Christianity or practical spirituality, not just a system of dogmas or beliefs, but the idea that we can take that into our everyday life. And Jesus, of course, was very much into that. So was the Buddha. So are all the great teachers. You know, it's not just about knowing something in our heads or having an idea or ritual around it. It's how do we make it happen in our everyday experience. And ask, seek, and knock. You can't get more specific than that. So we're gonna talk in depth about that scripture and others. So let's read the passage where we find those words, ask, seek, and knock. You'll find it in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about asking, seeking, and knocking in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And he says this: ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and those who knock, the door will be opened. Would any of you offer his son a stone when he asks for bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you, bad as you are, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So we get the statement, and then we get a couple of examples to drill that into our minds. And the first thing that comes to mind, of course, I think, because of our conditioning, because of our habit mind, because of the old tapes that are floating around, is, I don't think so. Life isn't that simple. Just because I ask or seek or knock doesn't always mean I get what I want. Because sometimes I don't get the job I thought I was supposed to get. Sometimes my relationship goes south. Sometimes things are withheld from me. And that's been true since I was a kid. Sometimes I don't get into the college of my choice. Even though I've asked and I've sought and I've knocked, it doesn't seem to happen for me. So how does that make sense then? Jesus is just talking in idealistic terms. I wish it was practical. I wish it was real, but it's not. And all these are very, you know, cogent tendencies of the mind to think this way. But when Jesus writes, he's not coming from the human standard. The human standard says, oh, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm only limited. Life is problematic. It's not always going to work out for me. But Jesus is speaking from a divine standard, right? So when we're coming from the human standard, yes, it doesn't always work out the way we want because life is fragmented and difficult on that level. But from the divine standard, when we turn our focus completely to spirit, to God, then he's describing the very nature of the universe, which is always giving, which is always providing, where the door is always being opened. And, you know, just looking around the spring day, and you see the effulgence of all the greenery. Everything goes intensely green, doesn't it, in springtime? And all the flowers come out. All the birds are nesting and giving birth. There's a sense of activity in the air. We see insects and butterflies that we hadn't seen all winter. It's God's givingness in that season, right? It's totally abundant. And I think this is a good symbology, it's an analogy, if you like, of the provision of God. That God is profligate, I think somebody once said. God has no limits. And so when we raise our consciousness to that divine standard, then there's no limits in our consciousness either. If we say, well, I only have so much money in the bank, or I don't have enough talent to do that, that's the human standard, right? But when we come from the divine standard, when we come from the spiritual centeredness that's at the heart of us, then things begin to open up in a way we could not have imagined before. And, you know, there's many examples of people who had not very illustrious careers at college. You know, they may have not even have graduated. And yet they've made millions, they've been very successful, they've created wonderful things. I was reading about the poet A.E. Houseman, who wrote A Shropshire Lad a few weeks ago, and he never made it through college. He went to Oxford, never graduated, and I think he was just too out there for the studies or something. But he became his own scholar, and he was so good at Latin and Greek that the University of London asked him to become a professor, even though he didn't have a degree. So you might say, well, I don't have a degree. I can't become a professor. Well, if you're good enough, you can, because if you have that genius, which A. Houseman had, and was willing to put all his energy into, then great things happen. He later on became a professor at Cambridge and had a very illustrious career, both as a scholar and, of course, as a poet. So, example there of somebody that doesn't conform to expectations on the human level, but yet is eminently successful in another area. So, the divine standard. So, if we're going to ask, seek, or knock, we're not talking about necessarily asking for a car, asking for a job, asking for a circumstance or a relationship. We are asking the universe to provide the spiritual equivalent for those things. And when we ask from that limitless divine standard, then the things that we need will be there as well. Jesus understood this completely. He said, seek first the kingdom and the rightness of the kingdom, and then all these other things you need or you think you need will be added in the right and perfect way, right? So it's exactly the same thing we're talking about. Don't get fooled by appearances or by what you think you need. Find the divine standard that's behind those things. So a car is great. I enjoy my car, but I know that it's not just a car. It's a symbol for my ability to move freely and easily around, my ability to meet friends, to go places I want to go. And so it's that idea of easy, fluid connectedness. And when I have that idea in my head that I want that ease, then that is translated into a car. It may be translated into a train. It may be translated into other means, because it's not always the way we think it might be. Recently, we'd taken going to the airport by train. And it takes a lot longer than car or bus, but it's pleasant. And we're supporting widening infrastructure, which I think is important, especially in Texas, where we don't have much public transportation. So to support that, I think, is a good thing. So there's the abundance there. We've enjoyed the train. It's quite comfortable, and it's relaxing. So we get to the airport, relax, ready to go on our next trip or our next adventure, whatever it might be. So as the universe, from that divine standard, whatever that might be for you, right? It's a limitless standard. It's open-ended. If you've ever done a vision board or a treasure map, it's always advisable to write this or something better, God, because we never know what's better for us. If we're only coming from a human level, we miss out on the depth of spiritual provision. And so it's always good to write that, this or something better. And it's also good for for the benefit of all concerned, because again, from a human perspective, we may not see the whole, but if we say for the benefit of all concerned, then we attract things that are not just good for us, but for all people. So ask the universe, seek the kingdom first. And let's talk about that. Where is the kingdom? Well, Jesus said the kingdom is within you and among you. And what that tells me is we're not seeking something far off or at a later date. We're seeking something that's intimately with us, within us, and around us, and among us, because the kingdom is not just mine. Kingdom is ours. We are all in the kingdom. And so to seek it is to see the spiritual in everything, right? To have that divine standard. When you see a tree, it's not just a tree. It's a creation of God. It's an expression of the divine. And it can teach us a lot when we see it from that context. If we see it just simply as a resource to be used as firewood or whatever, then it no longer has its vitality. It's just seen in a limited human perspective. But when we see it in a larger perspective, then it becomes ennobled, right? And it begins to show us things that we may not ever have seen before. So ask the universe, seek the kingdom within, and then knock on the door of possibility. I've shared this in an article that I wrote for Unity one time, but when I was a teenager, about 13, one of my school teachers, Latin teachers, said to my parents one time, he said, I think this boy is good enough to go to Oxford. And this shocked and amazed everybody because, you know, we came from a humble background and going to Oxford seemed like unattainable. But we stored it in our back in our memories for a few years until it was time to consider university. And then the idea of Oxford came up again. You had to do some special exams and go for an interview, etc. But at the beginning of my final year in high school, I wrote on my journal book Oxford. This the word Oxford. And I had no idea of what an affirmation was back in the day, but it seemed right for me to write that. And so every day when I'd look at my book, it would be there, Oxford. And I don't think I spent time chanting or being overly religious about it. It was just seemed natural. But what was I doing? I was conditioning my mind. I was seeing that there was that possibility. I didn't put any strings on it. I didn't see it from a human perspective. I didn't know what that meant. But it was the idea that had been put out as an idea, and I was putting energy around it. And I eventually did take the exam, and I got accepted, and I went to Oxford University. So to me, that was an example of using that that gift of focus, right? Knocking on the door of possibility. The possibilities are endless, and they belong to God. But I can focalize them. We can focalize them by tuning in to that which we think it represents the highest and best for us. And for me, Oxford represented the highest and best. It was something that I couldn't imagine going to, but I thought it must be good. There must be good things there. And so it became that mental or spiritual equivalent for education, for the unfoldment of my mind, of my maturity. And I'm always grateful that I was able to go there. And I was grateful that I learned the power of the affirmative word at that age, long before I came into unity. So this kind of requesting is new, isn't it? It's claiming our good, right? Because we are in the universe where all is good. And this is a problematic word for some of us, because again, we're from a human perspective, we'll say, no, it's not all good. From my human perspective, there's evil, there's horror, there's terror. Every day I look at the paper or read the news or watch television, I see one more example of horror and hate. And yes, that's true. We see the atrocities happening, and especially against the Christian religion recently. But then again, the Jewish synagogue was attacked also, and on it goes. There's always some kind of atrocity going on. So, yes, certainly the world is problematic. But we're talking about God the good. No matter how much up and down there is, eventually truth will prevail, love prevails. And that is the good within everything. I like to think that once you accept human birth, you also accept the apparent dualities of human birth, the fact that we are born to die, the fact that we feel and therefore we can feel pain, the fact that if being alive to compassion also means we're alive to suffering. So you can't have the one without the other, the apparent dualities of life. But they are really gifts, aren't they? They're gifts that so we can feel. If we couldn't feel anything, then what a life it would be. It wouldn't be a life, right? So to feel is to suffer. As the Buddha said, life is suffering, but it's not all suffering. There's a way through that. There's a skillful means. And I'll talk about the Buddha and what he asked for in a little bit. But we have to understand that inherently, the universe is good, right? God the good with a capital G. So we are claiming our good, not at somebody else's expense, but because everything is good, and we are claiming that. We're claiming more of that. And I'm claiming it not just for myself. I'm claiming it so that all people can experience the good. Another thing Jesus said was, when I'm lifted up, I will lift all people up. And isn't that a beautiful idea? The idea that when we arise up to a higher level of consciousness, to the Christ level, to the divine standard, then we raise others because we are drawing them forth. We are no longer operating at the level of humanness. We are operating at the level of beauty and possibility. And that automatically helps others. So remember that, you know, don't get stuck. Don't give your power away. Your true power, your spiritual power, because life seems problematic and life is hurtful. Remember, there's something in you that is always free, always whole, always wonderful. And likewise, we behold that in each person that we meet. All right, I'm on a roll here. I'm keeping going. How's it going so far? I hope some of this is making sense. Jesus said this. He said, ask, believing, in other words, knowing that you've received it, and it will be yours. Right? Ask, believing, knowing that you've received it, and it will be yours. Interesting word there. Knowing that you've received it. Received it even before you asked for it. And this is a huge key, I think, to Jesus' understanding of the flow of abundance. It is already here, right? It's already accomplished in spirit. It just takes time for us to realize that truth in our humanness. So know that you've already received it. Know that you are everything you could possibly need in this life. And when you know that for total faith and understanding, when you know it to be the truth, then it will be given. It's already here. The great sages of the East say, I am that. I am that which is limitless. I am that beauty, that love, that possibility. And when I identify with that, I become that. Oftentimes, doesn't feel like that, does it, folks? We feel out of kilter, off balance, a little twisted, in fact. We're a little twisted up. And I know I'm a little twisted sometimes, and it's easy to get sarcastic. It's easy to get cynical about life. And especially if you're on Facebook and you see some of the stuff that's endlessly put out there. It's a badly behaved medium in a way, and brings out the less noble in us. And so we have to remember, I can be distracted. We all can. We can all be thrown off balance. So the work is, therefore, to come back into alignment, isn't it? Alignment of who we are, both bodily and spiritually. So that's why when people meditate, they invite us, if they're instructing in meditation, they invite us to keep a straight spine. And that's because the alignment, when we have an aligned spine, when it's straight, the energies can flow easily, right? We're not twisted out of shape. It's the secret to yoga as well, to keep the body flexible. You need to have it to flow. The Tao talks a lot about the flow, that the flow of water is much more powerful than rock and can wear away rock. But the water just flows naturally. It's not twisted out of shape. And no matter how many twists and turns it takes, it always returns to its center, right, to its core. It goes back to the ocean. So in the same way, you know, life is full of twists and turns, but we're still centered and poised in that knowledge that all is well, and I'm one with the one. So this alignment is hugely important, I think. Aligning with the truth of our being, right? I'm in alignment. I'm in agreement. And are you agreeing with your highest self today? Jesus again said, it's so important not to go to sleep each night with when you're feeling bad about someone. Forgive them, let it go before you go to sleep, because you don't want to carry that into your subconscious mind. You don't want to carry that into your rest of your life. You want to be free to experience life fully and openly. So forgiveness is letting go, right? Letting go of the lesser so that I can come back into alignment with my true self. And it feels so good to do that. We don't want to, none of us want to be twisted out of shape, I don't think. We want to be unknotted, right? And just in that beautiful flow, in that alignment. So what are we aligning with? We're aligning with the divine qualities that is our truth. So I would suggest, just like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, we don't have to have all the divine qualities before we receive the blessings, before we become aligned. All you need is to focus on one particular quality. We have limitless amounts. We have the 12 powers, which Charles Fillmore talked about. There's the qualities of God and the fruits of spirit that Paul talked about. There's the qualities that the Buddha talked about, the six perfections. There's all kinds of qualities. We know many of them, don't we? Love, peace, understanding, joy, wisdom, you name it. All these strength, all these qualities, all these powers are available to us, right? They are in the realm of spirit. They are limitless potentials to be put into actuality. And in the Hindu tradition, of course, each god represents a quality or qualities. And so they're not really images out there. They are representations in image form of the qualities in here, in us. And so when we contemplate the power of a god in that regard, we're contemplating the power of that quality within our own being, right? And I think this is very powerful, because sometimes we say, oh, that's silly. Look at that. That silly little monkey-headed god. Or, hey, there's one with an elephant head. Well, all these gods represent certain qualities, and the elephant-headed god represents the ability to overcome obstacles, you know, just like the strength and resilience and grace of an elephant. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to become an elephant. We just embody those qualities. So I invite you, just for a few minutes now before we go to the break, and I'm going to turn to Buddhism and Hinduism, some other traditions in the second part. But just for a minute now, let's talk about these qualities. One of the greatest things we can do is to use the quality in the form of an affirmation. And it's always great to use I am at the beginning of the affirmation, because I am is the name of God, right? I am is what God said his name was in the Old Testament. I am that I am. And Jesus talked about the I am. I am the way. And it's the I am. It's the Christ within all of us. I am. Another thing about I am, it's affirmative, isn't it? It's stating very clearly who I am. I am. I'm not hiding from this. I am claiming it. And so to use I am, and then a quality that is yours to embody today. So it could be wisdom. I am wisdom. I am love. I am peace. I am forgiving. Limitless qualities, only one is yours today. So I invite you now, just for a minute, to use this affirmation with me. I am, and then think of the quality, and then end that statement with now. Because this isn't something in the future, nothing from the past either. It is what is happening for you now. I am embodying love now. I am full of wisdom and discernment now. I am filled with peace now. I am making wise decisions now. I am grateful now. So we see a move into the silence just for a second. Take that statement that is yours and affirm it quietly in the silence. From that place of peace and perfection, I have asked, sought, and knocked, and the doors are open. Thank you, God. Join me in a couple of minutes. We'll talk more about asking, seeking, and knocking, keys to manifestation. Join me then.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Welcome to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio. This programming is made possible through the generous donations of listeners like you. If you feel inspired by this programming, we invite you to contribute. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate to make your offering today. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Meditation Minute with Paulette Pipe.
So as always, we begin our time of meditation by first taking account of what we're feeling, those sights that we're seeing, those sensations that we're experiencing, and each breath that we breathe. Notice where in your body you're experiencing those sensations. Let your breathing find its own rhythm. As we begin the process of letting go, the process of relaxation, remember why we're here.
To hear more from Paulette Pipe and Touching the Stillness, visit the archives section at unityonlineradio.org.
Get your copy of Unity Magazine this month and deepen your spiritual journey. Pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber talks about the need to make a holy shift. Carolyn Mace gets gutsy with God. Justine Willis-Toms dives into new dimensions. And Alberto Villoldo shares an excerpt from his new book, Heart of the Shaman. Subscribe for 1 year and save $5 off the cover price and get the digital edition free. Go to unitymagazine.org and get a free trial issue today.
Follow unityonlineradio.org on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and stay up to date with everything Unity. Become a fan by clicking the like button. you can join in with a Facebook Live event or just like and share our inspirational messages and posts. Be the first to find out about any big special guests on the radio, giveaways, or events at Unity Village. Make sure you leave any questions or comments about Unity programming. We want to hear from you.
Create a path to success and prosperity with Mae McCarthy and Abundance Incorporated every Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on UnityOnlineRadio.org. A co-founder of seven successful companies, an angel investor, best-selling author, and international speaker, Mae will help you each week with spiritual and practical tools you can use to create a life that you love with greater health, happiness, wealth, and freedom. Join the show live with your questions or listen later on demand right here on UnityOnlineRadio.org.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
So welcome back to today's show. I'm talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. Keys to manifestation. We've been looking at moving from the human standard to the divine standard within us and various techniques that we can use. Jesus was the master psychologist in that regard. But then there's many other religions that talk about this key to manifestation as well. So I want to talk about some of that in the second segment of our show. And again, if you find this interesting and you want to call in and chat or have a question, call in at 816-251-3555. I'd be happy to talk with you. The Buddha didn't really ask for anything, but rather had a program of intention and focus, a sort of a system that he used, and a very practical system, but because there's no God in Buddhism per se, it's not a question of asking some deity outside of yourself or even asking your inner divinity. It's more a question of being aligned to what is going on at any particular time, getting closer to the motivations that impel us. And so the Buddha offered up the Noble Eightfold Path as a way of moving beyond suffering, which arises from clinging to the things that change, hoping that they won't. And everything changes, right? But we act like it won't. That we'll always have that loved one with us, that we'll always be living a happy life, that we're not going to die. Well, guess what, folks? We are going to die, at least our humanness, and we are going to suffer sickness, old age, and death, as the Buddha said. Rather than that be a source of misery, I don't want to look at that. That's morose. It's macabre to talk about that. The Buddha said it helps you live more fully when you realize that not everything is forever. And so he came up with the Noble Eightfold Path, each aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path begins with right. Again, seek first the kingdom and the rightness of the kingdom, the righteousness, which means the truth, the kernel of truth within it, the essence of value within it, the right. So it was a right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. Those are the Noble Eightfold Path elements. And really, they're in three parts. So, in order to begin on the spiritual path and move in the right direction, you have to have right view and right intention. If your view is clouded by anger or longing or a distaste or sarcasm or fear, it's not going to be very helpful. So, the right view is to be open and optimistic to possibility, which is what Jesus talked about, to have that right view, to see things clearly. Also, it means look without judgment, to view things with eyes unclouded by always having to sift and judge everything. So to view it with discernment, but not with that judgment. have the right intention. What are my intentions here on the spiritual path? Am I here just to get more stuff for me? Or is this something about all of us? So if we get those two right ways of approach correct, then we can move into the next stage, which is right speech, action, and livelihood. So everything that I say, everything that I do, and everything that I work on is as my livelihood, hopefully is in alignment with that right view and the right intention. So that, like Don Miguel Ruiz said, be impeccable in our words, have that speech that is harmless and helpful. Are our actions blameless, or do we have ulterior motives in the things that we do and the behaviors that we extend to others? On our livelihood, are we doing things that enhance the good, or are we working in a way that is detrimental to the planet and to others? So only to be doing things that serve the greater good. So that's the second set. And then the third set, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, really the focus there is on meditation practice. You know, where is my effort going, my mindfulness and concentration? And this isn't just meditation on the mat. This is meditation and contemplation as I go through life. So am I making the right effort to move in that direction towards freedom? Am I staying mindful and open, watching and seeing clearly what's happening around me? And am I focused, or am I diffuse? If we're focused, then we have right concentration. We have that laser-like awareness that is able to perceive beyond appearances, right? So these Noble Eightfold Paths are eminently practical ways of approaching our lives, you know, making sure we're looking in the right direction, and putting the thoughts, words, and deeds into action in the right way, and then utilizing focused intention, effort, and mindfulness to move us deeper into that place of freedom. Because the Buddha talked a lot about nirvana, of being free. Nirvana literally means extinguished or blown out. It's like blowing out a candle. We're blown out. We're no longer continuing the old ways. We are free, without condition, empty, marvelous, just wondrously here, but without having to carry along a whole bunch of baggage anymore. We've crossed the stream to the other side, and we've left the raft behind, the raft of all our conditioning and highest aspirations. None of that is needful anymore. We are that. I am that. The Buddha's last words were this. He said, all formations are impermanent. And in other words, nothing lasts forever. All formations are impermanent. Strive with earnestness. Or as somebody translated it, work out your own salvation with diligence. So all formations are impermanent. Work out your own salvation. It's very much like unity, isn't it? Nobody can do it for you, right? The Buddha can't do it for you. Neither can Jesus. I know they say Jesus took away the sins of this world, but then we're still sinning, aren't we? We're still suffering. We're still beating up on ourselves for not getting it right. So, you know, even Jesus couldn't do it in that sense. But he offered a way. And that way is universal, I think, to all religions. In fact, the Christians called themselves the followers of the way before they were named Christians. And the way of the Buddha and the way of the Tao, the way of the Christ, this is the way of limitless possibility, the way of the divine standard, folks, the way of seek first the kingdom and the rightness of the kingdom, and then all these things will be added unto you. Christ is the way, but the Christ is the representation of that spirit within all of us, right? Buddha is the way in that sense. Love is the way. I was reading an article by Stephen Batchelor, who is a Buddhist practitioner, written a number of books about Buddhism, and often from an iconoclastic point of view. He likes to look fresh at things. He said the best word for diligence or earnestness for him was care. Work out your own salvation with care. Strive with care. And I love that, because the care suggests that I'm really tenderly nurturing something. If you care for your garden, you get rid of the weeds and you encourage the plants to grow, right? If you care for somebody, if you're in a caring profession, or if you care for someone that you love, there's a tenderness around that. So in the same way, we're advised to work out our own salvation, work out our own unfoldment or enlightenment with care, not with harshness, not with forcing it, not by beating up on somebody else because they don't believe what we believe, but with care, with that tenderness, but with that strength too, because it takes a lot of strength to be in a caring profession. It takes a lot of strength to be a gardener, right? It takes a lot of strength to really care for someone, because that's over and above what seems to be easy sometimes. And so, yeah, care. Let that one percolate. Moving to Hinduism for a minute, the Upanishads have some great words about manifestation and the law of mind action, which we talk about in Unity. One of the Upanishads says, "He who contemplates spirit becomes spirit." I love that. Very simple, but isn't that profound? He who contemplates spirit becomes spirit. What we focus on, we become. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. I am love. I am spirit in action now. When you say that and know that to be the truth, then you begin to embody that. Things begin to show up in your life. You're asking, seeking, and knocking from that consciousness, from that divine standard, and you cannot help but receive the good. There's another Upanishad that says these profound words. It says, "You are what your deep driving desire is. As your desire is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. As your deed is, so is your destiny." So if you want a certain destiny to unfold, a certain outcome, then you have to watch your deeds. And your deeds are based on what you will. And the will is based on your desire. And your desires are based on what gives you passion, right? What inspires you. So this could be anything, though. It could be something maybe harmful in our lives. If we desire the wrong thing, if we desire a world power, at the expense of others, then, and we have the will to put that into action, therefore live from that, we may be doing a lot of destructive behavior here, and a lot of bad things can be happening. But if our desire is to be more loving, more gracious, more expansive, then the will carries that into actions, and that determines our destiny. So very profound, isn't it? The idea that mind action is neutral, right? Depends what's in your mind at any given time, but the law works. It will bring you what you deeply desire. And so the key here, of course, is you don't put anything in, the will doesn't carry forward, the deeds don't happen unless you have that desire, that deep driving desire, as the scripture says. What is it that floats your boat? You know, I think it was Joseph Campbell that said, follow your bliss, right? That which excites you. You have to have excitement around this stuff. I think this is huge. You can't blah your way into the kingdom of heaven, right? You've got to be passionate about it. I came that you might have life and have it in half measure, said Jesus. No, he didn't. He said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, right? It's not just a limited thing. It's a limitless thing. We are moving from the human to the divine standard. So let's talk a little bit about New Thought. Since this is a Unity radio station, right, the voice of an awakening world, and although we talk a lot about world spirituality on this show, we're also interested in Unity and how that fits into world spirituality and New Thought in general. The New Thought way of understanding is very much in line, I think, with what Jesus is talking about, what the Buddha's talking about. And it's the way of infinite possibility of adhering to that divine standard. And it's new thought. And let's look at that for a minute. What makes it new? Well, every moment is new, right? Every moment I have this choice to expand or contract. Which do I choose? We choose to come up into the light of forgiveness and inherit the power that is me, or do I instead give my power away and give up? And so it's new every moment. Another aspect of new thought is we align through our affirmations, don't we? This is our way to align with the divine. It is through affirmative power, the transformative power of consciousness stated in absolute ways through statements of truth. And we have lots and lots of wonderful affirmations in Unity, you know, let go and let God. I'm a rich child of a loving Father, Mother, God, and I dare to prosper now. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now, blessing every aspect of my life. So many wonderful affirmations that come from the Unity tradition, many of them created by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and other New Thought leaders like Ernest Holmes and Joel Goldsmith. You can look in any of those books and find wonderful affirmations. Find one that really excites you, that fills you with passion. And begin practicing using those affirmations, because they will draw to you as iron filings to a magnet that which you desire, because we are stating absolute points of view here, absolute statements of truth, and they cannot fail. So I told you about my affirmation of Oxford, but I've also used many affirmations in my career as a minister and in my life in general, and it has yielded great benefit for me and great flow of abundance, and not just in money, but in all kinds of ways that I could never have brought to myself, right? I give God the glory because I could never have thought it through for myself. And this is the thing about new thought. It's not our thought. It's God thought. It's God consciousness. So, you know, sometimes we limit ourselves to our thinking. But it's not just about the thinking in our heads. It's about the deep abiding thoughts and consciousness in all parts of our being. And that's important, I think. Otherwise, it becomes too much of a head trip, too much intellect, and not enough practicality and depth from a soul level. Let's talk about the five principles of unity for a moment. And just as I saw the Noble Eightfold Path as a three-step method, if you like, I think it's the same with the five principles. And at the center of them, we have the third principle, which is mind action. So the first two principles really lay the foundations and state what we believe. And that is there's one presence and one power in the universe, God the good. The second principle is that I am inherently good because I am of the universe. I am one with the one. I inherit that same Christ spirit that permeates the universe. So the first and second principles really state the same thing, and that is our oneness with God and with each other, that we are one. And Jesus understood this. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, these are the similar statements. And there we have it. We have the one presence and one power, and then we have the Christ presence within us, which is loved. We are called to love. So there's the foundation. In the middle is mind action. You get to choose which thoughts you hold. And then four and five principles are activities, prayer and action in the world, right? How do we put it into practice? Through affirmative prayer, and then through actions, through thought, word, and deed. But pivotal in the middle is mind action, right? How do I translate in my consciousness the oneness into the activity of oneness, the manifestation? I get to choose that. I get to decide if I'm coming from the human standard or the divine standard today. Food for thought. A couple more things before we say goodbye. You hear a lot about the word awareness or mindfulness or presence. All those words are very popular right now, mindfulness especially, coming out of the Buddhist tradition, mindfulness meditation, etc. Wonderful tradition. Awareness, just being aware in a larger sense, not from our humanness again, but from our witnessing, spiritual core, and presence. Having a sense of the presence of God in us as presence. It's a mystical word, isn't it? The presence is here. I can't really work out what that means, but I can experience it and appreciate it, right? When I'm in an awareness of the whole, of the one, I can't really work out what that is, but I know it when it happens, right? It's like being in love. You know the connection. You may be, have no words to express that, but you know. So why do we want to manifest? I want you to ask that question to yourself. Why do I want to ask, seek, and knock? Is it to get more things? Because when I first started on the spiritual path more than 40 years ago, it was fun to get things. You know, you could use the law and things would come. You'd tie the little money and then more money would come. And it was exciting. You used affirmations and parking lots. Parking spaces would open up. You know, you affirm divine order. And there's your parking lot space and other things like that. And that's great. You know, when you're first on the spiritual path, sometimes we need examples. We need to be seen, to be shown how these things work. And that's great. But let's not stay there. Now I prefer to park as far away from the store as possible so I get a walk-in. So I'm not constantly affirming divine order so I can get a parking space right near the door entrance to the store. So I've let that one go, you know, because there's a greater good for me, and that is to walk a little bit. So, you know, but if you want manifestation in that level, that's okay. But there's more than that, folks. So the first is to get more. The second one is to be more, right? My divine standard is limitless. I want to be more of that. I want to be more love, be more peace, be more understanding. I want to let that be the reality for me. And I bathe myself in that, meditate in that. It's a wonderful thing. And yes, that's a great stage too. And the third stage, though, is even more wonderful, and that is to give more. If I get, great. But, you know, after a while, getting is not satisfactory because there's always more to get, isn't there? Have you noticed that? And to be is lovely, but we are I am. We're not just be, we are I am. So I want to put that being that I am into practice. And I can only do that by giving, right? By giving it away. Have you noticed that? The more you give away of these qualities, the more there are. The more you share the good news, the more good news there is, right? And I'm talking about sharing through example here, not by laying a trip on someone and sharing the good news in that way, but sharing it in the sense, the things that I found, I give them away. If I found some love, I want to be more loving. And then more love comes back to me. So I don't have to worry about losing it because I'm in the flow. So to give more, you know, Jesus was once asked, you know, let's back up on that, because it was Rabbi Hillel was asked one time if he could state the essence of the Torah in just a couple of words. And he said, I'm going to stand on my leg while you tell me. And so the guy knew, the Rabbi Hillel knew he didn't have a whole lot of time. So he said, what is hateful to you, don't do to another. That is the law and the prophets. Everything else is commentary. Go and study it. And so, you know, he's stating the golden rule in the negative context, isn't he? What is hateful for you, don't do to another. And Jesus said similarly, he said it summed up the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you, is the law and the prophets. The whole of the law and the prophets are in that statement. Now, if the whole of the law and the prophets, that must be an important statement, doesn't it? So don't do to others what you wouldn't have done, or positively stated, do unto others as you would like to have done to you. In other words, the thought is, how can I help others, right? How can I give? How can I be a benefit? How can I love more fully? And Jesus only gave one commandment, and that commandment was love one another. When we do it for others, we expand the good for us and for all people everywhere. All right, finally, Micah, something to go away with, Micah 6:8, summation of the prophet's teaching. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice for all, balance, harmony. Love kindness, be harmless, be helpful, and walk humbly, be open to the whole world. So if you found any of this useful, email me. You can email me at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. Paul John Roach, one word, @yahoo.com. And let me know what you think about this show and maybe some others on this channel and other shows that I may have done or something that struck your fancy in this particular show. Just drop me a line. I'd be happy to respond. And thanks for listening today. Next week, Darren Coben returns to the show. He was with me a few months ago, or actually 9 months ago, I think. And now he's back again. He's going to talk about his excellent second book, which is called Living a Life of Harmony, 7 Guidelines for Activating Peace and Kindness. And I've read the book. It's great. I read his first book, Being Present. That was great, too. You're going to have a wonderful time with Darren, because he's very grounded and helpful and practical. So tune in next week for that. Thanks for listening, folks. Thank you for keeping this Voice of an Awakening World on the air. Thank you for supporting me and World Spirituality. Have a good week. All right. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.